Have you ever missed a great opportunity? There's a story told once of a small resort area along the East Coast that was having an open town meeting concerning some financial problems they were facing. Among the two dozen or so people was one man, no one who seemed to know, who was apparently visiting the area and had just dropped in on the meeting. He started to make a comment as various projects were considered, but he was interrupted. So for the rest of the time, he kept still and finally left early. Just as he went out, someone arriving late came in and said breathlessly, "What was he doing here? Is he going to help us out?" The rest of them said, "Who are you talking about? Who was that man?" The person who had just arrived said, "You don't know who that was? That was John D. Rockefeller." That night, they missed on an incredible opportunity because they didn't know who he was. Many times in life, we miss out on incredible opportunities. And we're going to look at the birth of Jesus Christ and how many times that they missed out on opportunities because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Andy Stanley made the statement in his book, Visioneering, that we don't need to pray for more miracles. We just need to be more sensitive to the opportunities that God brings our way. Many times in life, we're blinded to situations. Many times in life, we're engrossed in our own situation and we don't worry about the things going on around us. There's a story that's told of a shoe salesman who was sent by his company to test the African market. After being there only 2 weeks, he sent word back to America, "Bring me home. Nobody wears shoes over here." Company brought him home and sent another salesman to replace him. In a couple of weeks, the second salesman sent word back to America saying, "Please send me all the shoes you can because nobody here has shoes." Our attitude and our perspective have a lot to do with whether we embrace or we miss the blessing. Look with me at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 here, it says, "And came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." You think about it, a hotel today that gets any type of celebrity, they advertise that. They sell that. They tell the world that so-and-so stayed with them. If this inn knew what they were missing out on, I think they would have changed their story. I think they would have changed their tune. They could have had a motto, "Come stay in the number one hotel chosen by God himself." I mean, they could have came up with any kind of slogan they wanted to if they would have allowed Jesus Christ to be born in this inn. You know, why did the innkeeper miss this incredible opportunity? His inn was too full with other guests. Again, if he knew it was Jesus Christ himself, he would have went out and slept in the manger. He would have said, "Hey, you can have my bed. Hey, let's get this woman a bed. Let's find a way for this to happen." Some people today miss the true meaning of Christmas because our life is too full of stuff. It's full of shopping, decorating, parties, planning, doing, running, taking care of the kids, buying them presents, wrapping the presents. But we miss out on the true meaning of Christmas. I heard about a man who was busy with his Christmas shopping, and he bought his wife a beautiful diamond ring for Christmas. A friend of his said, "I thought she wanted one of those sporty four-wheel drive vehicles." The man replied, "She did, but where am I going to find a fake four-wheeler?" So, don't miss out on Christmas in the midst of all the stuff that the crowds, all of it. You know, we say we'll go to church next year. New Year's resolution, we won't miss church this next year. Start today. We'll start our diet next year. Start today. Well, we have kids' ball games on Sunday afternoons. I'll get back to church after hunting season's over. I'll get back involved. You know, many of us could have a serious relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ if we weren't preoccupied with careers, families, chasing goals, dreams, materialistic things. Just like the innkeeper here, if we're not careful, we'll miss out on the true message of Christmas. We don't want to miss that opportunity. All of a sudden, our life is going to flash before our eyes, and we're going to miss 30 years of our life. Look over with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10. Here he's got, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The people of Bethlehem, by and large, missed the greatest birth in all of eternity because they were only concerned with their own needs. They were only concerned with their own self, their own busy life, their burdened lives. They were too busy to be bothered by this young couple. They didn't have time to deal with Mary and Joseph. And there's many times in life that we don't want to deal with others. And many times in life that the Lord is putting that certain somebody in our life to tell us to either slow down or tell us to pay attention or to teach us patience. You know, we always think it's for their sake. You know, maybe we're helping them out. No, somebody they put were in our lives to help us out, to give us patience, to slow us down. Again, we're too busy. We're too busy. Compared with your salvation and eternity, how important are the things that are keeping you from Christ? Your career. I don't see God saying, oh, you were the top salesman. Well, then by all means, you get in. Your house was how big? Well, then you can get into heaven. I wonder how many people walked by Mary that night when she was carrying the Son of God that night. How many people just kept on going? They're riding in on the donkey and they just keep running by her. 9 months pregnant, struggling. How many times do we walk by an opportunity? Paul Harvey tells the story of one man who finally understood the significance of the Christmas story. This family had a Christmas Eve tradition where the mother and the children would go to the Christmas Eve service, and the father would stay home and read the paper. When the family returned, they would all gather to open up their presents. The father was not an evil man, but he just couldn't believe in the childhood stories anymore of God coming as a babe in a manger. As the family left for church, he opened up the paper and began to read by the fireplace. Suddenly, he heard the tapping on the window. It was a bird flying against the glass, trying to get out of the snow into the warmth of the house. The man had compassion on the bird, and he went outside hoping to bring it inside. As he approached the bird, it flew against the window even harder, trying to get away from him, finally getting trapped in the bushes below the window. After a few minutes in the cold and seeing the bird continue to injure himself, the man said in frustration, "Stupid bird, can't you understand that I'm trying to help you?" The man paused and thought, "If I could only become a bird, I could get you to understand. Then you wouldn't fly away from me." Just at that moment, the church bells rang, as they always did on that hour. But when the man heard the bells this time, he fell to his knees and began crying, saying, "Oh Lord, I understand." Jesus Christ became man himself, became human flesh, to be born of a Virgin Mary. We must never miss the miracle of what happened that night so long ago. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3 says, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people of Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Everybody knows the story. King Herod, at this time, tells everybody under the age of 2 to be killed. Kill all boys under the age of 2. And many at the time knew about the ancient prophecies regarding the Messiah. King Herod did. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem and be the ruler of the Jewish people. And there's over 300 prophecies that were exactly fulfilled by the birth, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And anyone who bothers to look at the clues objectively must notice God's clear-cut proclamation that Jesus was his son, the promised Messiah. Herod knew the prophecy, and he knew it to be truth also. But he was so angry. He wanted so much power. He wanted so much control that he didn't care what the prophecy was. You know, we can look at Herod's life and say he's such a villain. But we can look around today and there's Herods around us today. There are many people who, like Herod, understand and perhaps even believe the teachings of Jesus. But instead of being eternally grateful for what Jesus did and willingly giving their life to him, they are resentful. Things could have happened in their life that they're upset about. They're bitter towards God. They don't understand why certain things happen. It may be even your own life that we hold this grudge and anger to the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe it, but we hold this anger. Many people today in the Christian world, they could say, "What do you mean no one comes to the Father except through Jesus? How can you be so narrow-minded? What do you mean I have to surrender my life to God's will? I worked hard to get to the point in life where I control my own destiny. I'm not going to mindlessly follow some unseen Savior. What do you mean I need to turn from my sin? Who determines what is right and wrong?" You deal with your own, I'll deal with mine. There's nothing wrong with my current lifestyle. You're narrow-minded, you're ultra-conservative, you're right-wing, you're self-righteous. You can take a hike and leave me alone. Just like Herod, who waged war in an attempt to rid the world of baby Jesus, there's a movement at work in the world today. It seeks to rid the world of Christian influence. Christmas and Easter, the holiest of days, have been commercialized to be only about Santa Claus and bunny rabbits. As I was studying this week, I found this politically correct Christmas card. Well, I guess we can't say Christmas anymore, holiday card. And it says, "Please accept without obligation, implied or implicit, our best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, politically correct, low-stress, non-addictive, gender-neutral celebration of the winter holiday practiced within the most enjoyable traditions of the religious persuasion of your choice or secular practices of your choice with respect for the religious secular persuasions and or traditions of others or their choice not to practice religious or secular traditions at all. And may you enjoy a financially successful year, but with due respect for the calendars of choice of other cultures or sects, whose contributions to society have helped make America great, not to imply that America is necessarily greater than any other country or is the only America in the Western Hemisphere, and having regard to the race, creed, color, age, physical ability, religious faith, choice of political platform, or dietary preference of the wishee, this greeting implies the promise by the wisher to actually implement any of these wishes. You know, we thank God it's not quite that bad yet. But again, we've got to put Christ back into Christmas. We have to put the Lord Jesus Christ back into our lives. There's nothing wrong with a Christmas tree. There's nothing wrong with presents. There's nothing wrong with family. Don't miss the true meaning of Christmas. Take 5 minutes with your family before you open presents or Christmas Eve and read the Christmas story with your family. Explain to them the true meaning of Christmas. We should celebrate Christmas every day. We need to put Christ back into Christmas. Jesus is the reason for this season and the reason we have an eternal hope. At this time, we're going to take a moment and take communion. And I want us to just slow down. Like I said, we get all busy in Christmas. We all get busy in different things. Think of baby Jesus. Christmas is very important, and that's where it started. But where it ended is where it matters. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for your sins. He hung on the cross for 3 days, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If you put your faith and trust in that, you can have eternal life. You can have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have already put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're more than welcome to partake of communion. It's just a time to reflect on your own life. Think of what you can do differently. Think of what you can change. Think of what the Lord is calling you to do. Is there an opportunity you missed out on? Take a quiet time. If you have never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can just let it pass by you. But at this time, I'll ask the ushers to come forward. You can go ahead and pass those out. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Arnie, would you pray for his body?
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that we celebrate communion, Father, and do it in remembrance of what was done for each of us. Father, the suffering and the shame, the humiliation, the beatings that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through, to be nailed to a cross, to wear the thorn, the crown of thorns, dear Father. The suffering, the shame, all to bring salvation to us. What love he had, Father. You tell us that there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. Father, that's what was done for us. That's what we need to think of, Father, when we think of Jesus Christ and the cross. Father, when he was dying on the cross, the last words was, "It's finished." Salvation was complete. All we have to do now is believe. I pray to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Go ahead. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you sent your Son to be born of a Virgin Mary. We don't understand why you allowed so many people to miss this opportunity, whether it was their human selfishness or what it was, but so many people missed the opportunity of helping the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We just pray that through our everyday life that we don't miss out on opportunities to help when you have given us opportunities to help. We just thank you that through your Son, Jesus, that you lived a perfect, sinless life, and you went to the cross of Calvary. And that through the blood on the cross, through the pain and the agony, through the beating, you could have came down off that cross, but the love of Jesus Christ kept you on that cross. We just thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you through the blood of Jesus we can have eternal life. And all we have to do is put our faith and trust. That's what you did, that you went to the cross, that you paid for our sins on that cross, and that you rose again the third day. There's no other work that we have to do. We have to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your way No one comes to the Father but through you. We just thank you. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.